We're thankful to be here together tonight. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And sometimes the most stressful. We're all extremely busy during this time of the year. Have you seen the traffic on the road? We all wonder, how are we going to fit it all in? All of the going hither and yon, rushing to and fro, to this home, to this appointment, to this party. We're overextended at this time of year, wondering, how am I going to pay for all of this? During this, the most wonderful time of the year, as they say, we are reminded, some of us, of the deepest hurts, and we wonder, how am I going to get through this time of the year? Tonight, I want to share with you a three-part series that'll take us through the end of this year on Sunday evenings, tonight, next Sunday, and the last Sunday night of December. And I'm adapting this series from one that I saw from Brandon Cox, a minister that presented this series called The Gift Exchange. And I liked it, and so I thought I would take it and mold it and adapt it and share it with you to end out, round out the year on Sunday nights. The idea behind this series that I'm just going to call Gift Exchange is this. Our relationship with God is all about the exchanges that take place. The gospel itself is an exchange. Jesus takes our sin in exchange for gifting us His own righteousness. But as you look at all that Jesus has done for you and me, there are so many different exchanges that take place if we'll just simply participate in it. We're going to look in this series at three specific exchanges that we need to embrace as followers of Jesus in order to enjoy the immenseness of His blessings. In this first one, I want to look at an exchange that I think we all need to make, and that is we need to give God our worry so He can give us His peace. So that's the first exchange. We're going to exchange our worry for God's peace. Whenever it comes to the idea of worry, Jesus really hits the nail on the head in His most iconic sermon that we generally refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, of all the things Jesus could say in what would be His trademark sermon, there is quite a bit of that sermon that is dedicated to the issue of worry. So it clearly is an important topic whenever it comes to our relationship with God. It makes a big difference in our walk with God as to how we handle the concerns and the anxieties of life. But I feel compelled to say at the outset that there is a difference between a healthy degree of caution that we should all live with and the idea of worry that we should avoid. In fact, we should all exercise some wise caution in our lives. The Bible exhorts us to do that very thing. For example, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16, the advice is given by God that the wise are cautious and avoid danger, but fools plunge themselves ahead with reckless confidence. So there's a difference between healthy caution and worry. There's also a difference between a certain type of anxiety that is based upon physiological and medical issues and worry. The worry that I want to talk about tonight is the type of worry that we can avoid, that we have a degree of control over. Now, what is that kind of worry? I think a good definition of that kind of worry is the one that Brandon Cox gives in his series whenever he says, he puts it this way. Worry is allowing your mind to dwell on potentially negative outcomes that are beyond our actual control. So let me repeat that. Worry is allowing your mind to dwell upon potentially negative outcomes that are really beyond your actual control. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about in the sermon, and I want to share it now. I'm going to read it from a fresh perspective from the New Living Translation, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. These are the words of Jesus. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. And yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, and what will we drink, and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. These are Jesus' words. Now, this reading brings out, I think, three very important ideas whenever it comes to the type of worry Jesus is telling us to avoid. And I won't belabor it. I'll just put it right there to you. The three points that just come screaming off the page is, first, worry is unnatural. Did you see that he said in verses 26 and 28, even nature doesn't worry? So to worry is against nature. It is against your nature. So it is unnatural to worry. Secondly, worry is unhelpful. In verse 27, he says, it's not going to change anything. You can't add a single day to your life. In fact, you'll actually do the opposite and take from your life through worry. So it's unhelpful. And then thirdly, and this is where it really bites, worry is unchristian. He says in verse 32, it's a lack of faith in God. It is unbelievers or pagans that worry about these things. So worry is unnatural, it is unhelpful, and it is unchristian. So knowing that, then the question is, okay, what can I do about it then? How can I exchange the worry that I feel at times and give it over to God and give it to Him fully so that He in exchange will give me His peace? Well, this text tells us the steps we need to take in order to make this exchange. And they are three. The first step is let Jesus be king. Now, I know that I've been preaching a Sunday morning series about King Jesus, and that sounds like I'm interjecting the morning sermon into the evening sermon, but it is really clear here that that is what's in Jesus' mind, and I'm not putting it over the top of the text. Because as you see in verse 33, that he says the solution is to seek first the kingdom. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is a domain or realm over which a king rules. So clearly he's making reference here to his kingship. That in order to let Jesus be king, to seek first the kingdom means to let Jesus truly be king in our lives. Jesus promises you and me that whenever we make God's kingdom purpose and God's will our primary concern, that he's giving us a promise here that he will take care of us, but we must truly let him be king. Secondly, live one day at a time. In verse 34, he says, every day, each day that you live has enough trouble of its own, so why worry about the day that is yet to come? Live one day at a time. Jesus is giving you and I the instruction here to focus on the needs of the day and the moment before us and not obsess about the things that have yet to come. And if we do that, Jesus is promising to give us enough strength to deal with what is coming in the day that sits right upon us in the here and now. So live one day at a time. And then thirdly, not only must we let Jesus be king by seeking first his kingdom and live one day at a time because each day has enough trouble of its own, but thirdly, we must learn to lean upon God's faithfulness. Jesus is clearly making the promise here that God is faithful to being aware of the needs that we have. And if we seek him first and we live one day at a time, he's promising as we lean upon him that he will provide the things that we need. He is faithful to do so. And we must focus upon his faithfulness and his promises. And one of the big ones that he gives, one of the big promises that he gives regarding worry is found in another place in the New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read this one too from the New Living Translation. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. First, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Now, this verse gives two primary things that we're told to do with our worry. So how do we go about making this exchange? Well, when worry comes, what do we do with it? This verse says, first, what you do with your worry is you talk to God about it. I wonder sometimes how much more peaceful my life would be if I talked to God about the things that were worrying me as much as I ruminate about the things that are worrying me. I like what, I think it was Rick Warren I read one time that said that he was talking about the idea of meditation and how Christians ought to meditate upon Scripture and meditate upon good and positive and wholesome things. And he said, you know, somebody will object and say, well, I don't know how to meditate or I don't meditate. And he says, guess what? Everybody meditates. If you worry, you meditate. You're just meditating on the wrong things. And you need to change the direction of your meditation. And I think that's what Philippians 4 and verse 6 is telling us. Rather than worrying over the things and meditating on the things, we should be talking to God about the things and talk to him openly about them. One of the misnomers, I think, misunderstandings about prayer is that sometimes people think somehow that God doesn't have the time or the capacity, I think maybe we wouldn't come out and say it, but we act as if he doesn't have the capacity to be able to deal with all the problems in the world. It's like God's got so much stuff to do in maintaining the universe that I hate to bother him. Well, the Scripture is indicating that God is much bigger than we give him credit for. And he can handle anything that you throw his way, anything that you want to give him. He invites you to bring all of your anxieties and cares and concerns to him. and to be brutally honest about them. You don't have to read very far at all in the Psalms to understand that God is fully capable of handling the most brutal of things that you want to share with Him and be absolutely raw and honest with Him. And that's the way that you lean upon Him in times of struggle and strain. So talk to God openly about it is the first thing. And then secondly, he says not only talk to Him, but he says in there in Philippians 4 and verse 6, thank Him for all that He has done. Don't just talk to Him about the problems, but then consider the things in your life that you can be thankful for and give thanks to Him for it. And I think the reason that he gives us that instruction is because there is power in gratitude. Whenever you're grateful and mindful of the good things in your life, it refocuses the mind rather than being obsessed with the problems around you. It makes you reorient your focus upon the goodness of God and the things that He has done. So talk openly to God and then thank God for what He has done. So let me read the verse again, Philippians 4, 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. And here is the follow-up in verse 7. When we do this, there's a promise attached to it. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, this is a promise from God, and it is part of leaning upon God's faithfulness, of how we exchange our worry for God's peace, is that whenever we talk to God openly about what is concerning us, and we thank Him for what He has done, He has promised to gift us with almost a miraculous peace that descends upon us, a peace from God that is beyond explanation, beyond what we can understand or comprehend, that He promises to give us. And He says this peace is almost going to be like a soldier that will not only watch guard over your thoughts, guarding any thoughts that would rob your peace, but it'll guard your emotions too, your heart, so that you can live in Christ Jesus. So this is the promise that is attached to leaning upon God's faithfulness of this promise of peace that He gives by talking to Him openly and thanking Him for what He has done. So that's underneath the heading of leaning upon God's faithfulness, cycling back to Matthew chapter 6, that if we let God be king and we live one day at a time and we lean upon this promise of peace and God's faithfulness that He'll provide, that He promises to give us peace. And this is a remedy for the anxieties and worries that consume us that He talks about, and how we do this exchange of our worry for God's peace. So in closing, let me just say this, that we all have a choice. We can choose to dwell on our problems, or we can choose to dwell upon God's promises. And when you let Jesus be king, and you live one day at a time, and you lean on God's faithfulness, He has promised to guard your heart and your mind with His peace. If there's some way in which we can help you to understand more deeply the Prince of Peace, Jesus our Lord, and the gifts that He gives, we would love to do so tonight. If we can help you, come as we stand.